Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 50 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 15th of September 2010. That's it. We have reached number 50, the 50th episode. We have waffled for that long. But hey, you're still with us. Thank you for sticking with us. Let's let you know then what's going on this edition of the show. Well, to start off with, as always, Craig and Juz are going to join me as we take you through the news and rumours for Walt Disney World and for Disneyland Paris. Also, we're bringing you the next edition, day two of my Disney Daily Diary. And then that thing that we've been teasing you about on Facebook for the past few days is our Disney Brit competition to celebrate our 50th episode. I reckon it's the biggest competition we have held to date. So make sure you do not miss that one. And then to finish off with, we have an interview. Charles Cornell from Disney on Ice joins us to tell us what it's like to set up a Disney on Ice production, just how much it takes, and to tell us a little bit more about the current touring show, 100 Years of Magic. And that's the whole show. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002.
And welcome to the news and the rumours for this edition of the show. And as always, joining me is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hello, Disney Pod people.
And it's Craig.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well.
And suddenly it feels really weird pre-recording something. Do you know what I think? We're recording this having done the first of the Destination Disney and Ion Orlando radio shows. So we sort of did that whole 2 hours completely live, and now we're pre-recording stuff for the podcast again, which seems really weird because we can now make loads of mistakes and it won't matter. And we haven't got Nick with us, bless him, to make lots of sound mistakes. I know he'll be listening to this now, and I know he will probably just sworn at his iPod. Hi, Nick. See you on Friday.
Or not now.
Or not. Maybe.
Let's hope Adam's got all his scripts open, eh, Juz?
Don't. Sure. What's the hours for Universal? No, forget it.
For those people who listen to the radio show, I've listened to, because we'll explain what Ion Orlando is in a second. We did the Disney show, and I got all that out of the way, and we decided that I'd try and take a step back for Ion Orlando. So I took a step back and didn't even open the Orlando news bit, and just went, and what is the Universal stuff? And I went, and just had to make stuff up to make up the paperwork open. You might notice if you listen to the show. But there you go. Firstly, yeah, do you just want to let people know about the change in Ion Orlando, how Ion Orlando is now going to work? Because people who listen to both shows might want to know.
Well, we're trialing it. We're seeing how it goes. But yes, at the moment, we're going to be doing Ion Orlando once a week on the radio and then releasing it as a podcast on the Sunday night. So we're going to see how that goes. It should fit in nicely and plough on. And then we've got other things planned for the time when we would have done Iron Orlando.
Yes.
It's like, looks like, I think in Universal Bites might be making a bit of a comeback once a month. So we'll see how we go.
And Disney Brit will continue, but we've also got a new show which is going to be coming out as on iTunes called Destination Disney, which is the other radio show that we do, the first hour. So you'll be listening to Destination Disney on another iTunes download feed, which will be coming up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Before that, it's destinationd.info. You can go there, you can download the radio show from there, and you've of course got this coming through on iTunes as well. Before we get into the news, a couple of things I want to share with you. Firstly, I've got to say thank you to Graham, because Graham emailed me this week to let me know of a slight cock-up we made with the calculations on our Disney Dining Plan segment on the last show. We'd got all the calculations right, and it was fine, but towards the end, I then said I calculated the wrong dining package amount for 10 days with the amount that I spent and made it sound favourable by about £160, whereas it's not quite as favourable as that if you look at it with the tips and everything on top, so... apologies for that. If you listen,
what's our gentleman's name?
Graham is his
name.
Can
I just say, congratulations, Graham, that someone actually listened to Adam that long to still be paying attention to what you're saying.
Shut your face. So I can't remember Graham's surname off the top of my head. I'm just going to look it up
now. You probably get it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I've heard it all before. I can't find Graham's surname. But thank you, Graham.
Oh, so amateurish.
Isn't it awful? Can you tell? They were just back on the podcast and I'm just not organised and it's just terrible and awful.
Do you know what? He's going to edit all that and go, yes, it's Graham such and such. Oh, yeah.
No, Graham, Graham Locock's his name.
Hey.
Look at that. Almost as if magic. Just
almost by magic.
Yeah. Also, second thing to tell you is opening of the Disney store in Milton Keynes is this. The grand opening is this Saturday, the 18th. If you are planning on coming down to Milton Keynes, we're going to be there. There's a few guys already I know who are coming down. We're going to get there from 10 o'clock. So we're going to be there an hour before the grand opening, which is at 11. And we're going to stay down there for the event. We're going to go into the new store. Mickey and Minnie are coming, apparently. We're going to try and get some interviews and bits and pieces to put on the show as well. So if you are coming, we're going to be meeting outside the Disney store in the Centre MK at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And if that's not enough for the weekend, the next Disney Brit live chat, which people have been asking for, and we've not done one over the summer because, you know, we've been away. I've been away for most of the summer and we're back now. It's going to be on Sunday. That's this Sunday, the 19th of September. That's going to be 8 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And there's going to be an hour there from 8 till about 9. And we want to try and do something a little bit different this time, which I haven't discussed with the other two yet, which I will ask them about a little bit later.
No, don't want to do it.
Okay, fine. There we go. So you've got... if you've not had enough of us already, you've got the show now, you've got the live radio on Friday night, you've got opening of MK on Saturday, and you've got Disney Live on Sunday. So there you go. All good.
Hooray!
Right, let's head into some news then. Let's do some Disney news in general, some Disney Park news in general, where we're going to start off with Jeff Galloway, who is one of America's foremost marathon trainers. He has teamed up with Disney to become their official training consultant to the new Disney series of endurance events, which have just been rebranded as Run Disney. Now, Galloway is a 1972 Olympian. He founded the Galloway Marathon Training Program, and he will offer his running and training expertise to beginners as well as experienced runners. And Juz obviously has far too much time on his hands for the fact that he's just written the word me about 200 times in the Skype window. He's not going to defend himself either, is he? No, just going to laugh. Galloway's unique training methods, and I have this already.
Oh, we've fallen apart.
Oh, we have fallen apart. And that's the end of the show. Good night. Anyway, where was I? Right, the Run Disney brand brings together all four current Disney marathons and half marathons. This is both at Disneyland and at Walt Disney World, where more than 75,000 people compete. It's going to bring together the races, characters, entertainment, first-class event management, and exclusive race medals. The lineup includes the Disneyland Half Marathon in September, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in October, the Walt Disney World Marathon presented by Cigna in January, the Disney Princess Half Marathon presented by Lady Foot Locker in February. There's going to be a new website as well you can go to, which is going to be rundisney.com. You've got facebook.com/rundisney as well. You can find out loads of stuff. But there's going to be a lot of stuff going on with regards to this Run Disney. So does it make sense, do you think, for them to bring this all together as one brand like they have done with like the Worldwide of Sports and all those other things?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. the marathon as a brand now is worth a lot of money.
Mm.
I mean, you look on the Facebook and all the forums when the people go into these things now and then trying to collect all the badges to get the special badge. This is big bucks. They're not stupid. It's, you know, come.
You get a special medal if you do the Walt Disney World Marathon and the Disneyland one, don't you, if you go and do both coasts?
Yeah, I've got them.
You've got them, yeah.
Gone from eBay.
eBay. Because I'm not a runner, but I still think, you know, you talk about this and talking about being big money. I'd love to do a marathon that goes through Walt Disney World, to run through the castle, to run through the parks and things like that. I'd probably only ever do it once, but it'd just be the experience of it. But as you say, you know, these marathons are big money. You pay, obviously, to take part in the marathon. You're there, you have to stay in a hotel room. The chances are you're not going to come on your own, so you're going to bring other people with you. Before you know it, it's another weekend in Disney. You know, people are going to have to pay to enter the parks, they're going to have to need their tickets. So it is a big money spinner, but also I think it's a great, unique event that no other sort of theme parks in the world do, which is fantastic. Craig? Craig.
Yeah.
You're a big runner.
I am a big runner, yeah, away from things. You know, they've done is they've just capitalised on the success of the marathons, and, you know, that's just their astute business acumen coming into play, isn't it? Put a brand around it, sell T-shirts, stick a vinyl motion of a runner. You know, it's great. You know, I know lots of people get into it, half marathons, big marathons. It's nice. If you want to go through the park, though, Adam, I think you could actually just buy a ticket and walk through. I think you don't need to do a marathon.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. You could do that, mate. Try that.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Just try visit the park one day, have a look. There's a castle in the middle.
When you're jogging, do you have to stop at the turnstile and do your finger bit and show your ticket and then yes, they let you through? Imagine that.
Bag check,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe get a fast pass for the marathon. I'll do it if somebody push me. I'll do it in a wheelchair one, Jazz, and you can push me. There you go.
Well, can we get one of those, what, those things where the bike with the little thing at the front? Rickshaw, is it?
I could do it in a Segway.
You're doing a rickshaw? Oh, Segway would be awesome.
Segway marathon, see? That's
good. Whoever's charged it up the most. Well, the four of us could do it on a Surrey bike.
I like a Segway. Surrey bike's too much hassle.
Car. I don't know. Yeah. Just go
on a rail.
Oh dear. Anyway, there we go. So, Run Disney, new branding for Walt Disney World and Disneyland's running events. Right, Juz, let's head over to you.
Oh, let me just find my paperwork and stuff. Let me open it up. Okay. See, how's it feel to be on the other side of amateurism?
Talk about amateurism. I've just smacked my leg on my desk.
Well, it's a fat leg. Disney Mamas and Papas panel needs you. I've changed the name because I don't think Disney Moms is politically correct these days. It should be changed to Disney Mamas and Papas panel.
Okay.
Are you the person family, friends come to advice when planning their Disney vacations?
He's going into story mode.
No, because I don't have any friends. And the family doesn't like me. Basically what it is now's the time to go onto the Walt Disney World Moms panel. This can be open for men and women, and you can apply at www.disneyworldmoms.com on September 13th to 17th. My only thing is here is, you know, well, we discussed this the other day, you know, I'd love to do it, but the amount of work that these people put in, just like every day, they're on there answering questions. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be committed. You can't just be a Disney fan and think, oh, I'd love to do this as a prestige thing. You've really got to have some commitment. I mean, my hat goes off to all of them. I could never do that kind of commitment. I get bored. You know.
Well, when we had the interviews with them, they talked about the amount that they have to do in a week. And there's actually, they don't have to do that many posts in a week. But the fact that they were saying that although this is how many they have to do, they actually do a lot more. Because they, you know, they feel they need to do that. Otherwise, the questions just don't get answered. Craig, have you applied?
I did, yeah. I applied today.
Have you not got to go across at a certain point?
That's all right. I'll just take my laptop with me. I'll just
do you have to pay or do they send you?
No, it's a free trip over to
do your
training.
They send you over. But what I applied last year, and this year it's much simpler, actually. There's only three questions you fill out.
Just you should apply.
A lot more.
What?
I think you should apply.
I can't get onto it.
I tried to get into it earlier on this evening and couldn't, and I think it may be that it's down, but what have we got until the 17th of September, which is only 4 days. Oh, I think it said on the website, 17th of December or until 20,000 applicants.
How can I apply now I'm on this website?
You go on to disneyworldforum.disney.go.com/recruiting, and that'll take you straight through to it. So I'll leave you to do that, shall I? I'll leave you to get on with that. And good luck to anybody who has decided to apply. I know there's a massive amount of people that apply and only a short amount of places, but fingers crossed, you know, we'll get another UK member, because we've only ever had one. That was Jo, who was not last year, year before she got onto the panel. We've only ever had one. So it'd be really great to have some more UK-based Mums Panel members, which would be good. Right, let's head over to Craig then. Craig, what have you got for us?
I've got some news about Downtown Disney Marketplace and the bus stop, which is now closed through to Friday, September the 17th, for a bit of a paint and spruce up, new seats, get rid of the graffiti, put the Coke cans in the bin. It's going to reopen on Saturday, day after. But during this time, the buses will only be stopping at Pleasure Island. So don't get the bus to Downtown Disney if that's where you think you're going to get it, because you're not. Or don't stand there waiting for one.
So they're not going to be going at all then, which means if you're catching those buses to Downtown Disney to go to Marketplace, you're now going to have to catch them to Pleasure Island and walk your way through. That's a bit of a walk as well, isn't it?
It is a little bit of a long walk, yeah. Or you could actually drive to Downtown Disney Marketplace and then walk to Saratoga Springs, because they won't let you in the door.
But why would you be using the bus then?
No. We wouldn't necessarily. Don't get him started on that one.
No.
Or you could get the bus to Port Orleans Riverside and then get the boat to Downtown Disney.
You could.
Yes. That might work.
Thank you.
Small crowd in Jesse's head just cheering him on.
That's one of my Disney Mum's questions.
so that's quite a bit of a inconvenience in a way for a day. But I suppose if they've obviously got something very, very important they need to do to it, otherwise it wouldn't be... there. Also, interestingly, actually, I was going to bring this up and I completely forgot. Downtown Disney buses, I went one morning really early to go and get on to go down to the shop.
To Downtown Disney, perhaps.
To Downtown Disney. But there was a sign saying to get to the theme parks, jump on this bus, which would take you to Port Orleans, and then jump on a Port Orleans bus.
How strange.
And we always thought that you weren't able to get there from the parking from there. But it seems that, although it's a bit of a convoluted way because you've got to get on a bus to get to the resort to get on another bus, but it looks like you can actually get from Marketplace onto a bus to there. You know, don't take it as read that it's definitely still there, but that was certainly the sign that was up. I think it's on my Facebook as well, the sign of it. There we go. Right, let's head into some rumours then. Rumours of a new resort that may possibly be coming to the old site of River Country. This is, like I say, it is only a rumour that's currently being circulated. Disney are considering bringing back an old concept from 1992. It's entitled the Fort Wilderness Junction, but it was commonly known as the Buffalo Junction Resort. When the resort was first announced back in 1992, it was going to be built as part of what they called the Disney Decade. This is the 10 years where they had all the fantastic movies and they were building the new parks and they were adding all these other bits and pieces. And it was going to be a 600-room resort that was going to be placed between Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge, and it's going to have this Western countryside sort of looking feel. You know, think the type that you get with the two resorts that are already there. It's going to be that sort of feel, but it's going to look similar to the boardwalk. So you'd have that whole walkway in front and all those bits and pieces that were there. Now, interestingly, and it'd be interesting if this rumor is true, whether this is coming, the original plans called for a Buffalo Bill's Wild West show to be put there, the one that's now at Disneyland Paris. And the rumours, like I say, are currently circulating around industry, theme park and attraction websites, describing this as the next Disney Vacation Club. There's no official word from Disney. So, two questions, really. One, do you think Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show would do well in America? And two, do you think it's a good idea for it to be a vacation club?
Yes, yes.
There we go. Craig?
Yes, no.
So not as a vacation club?
They're flogging that so much. And what happens is they do it as a vacation club, and then they end up just selling the rooms out anyway. It's just another money-making scheme for them.
But there's a massive need for vacation club. There's so many people who are going for it at the minute.
Yeah.
It's absolutely...
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's big. I mean, you'd know because you went to the chit-chat. But, you know, they've still got places available. There's loads of it available in the second-hand market. I mean, maybe they need more...
Yeah, but Disney don't make anything from the second-hand market, do they?
Well, that's exactly right. But
can we say it's resale? It does sound a bit iffy. Second-hand market.
Yeah, sorry. from Del Boy's van.
Do you want to buy a resort?
That's not a reason for Disney to, just because they're not making money on it, that doesn't have anything to do with the supply and demand for it.
Yeah, but the DVC, money coming to the DVC, I think makes better properties if you look at, like, where you went, Animal
Dakota Springs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that money actually makes a better resort.
It's just because the people who own DVC paid for the upkeep of it. So almost if you're not DVC and you go and stay in those resorts, you get those added benefits without having to pay the maintenance for it. Because at the moment, from what I understand, the ones that are available are Saratoga Springs, you've got Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village, and there are some for Bay Lake. They are the three locations that are now available. Now, they are all very, very different locations. But you look at how quickly places like the Boardwalk Villas filled up for DVC, and this is going to be a similar sort of concept, and it's going to be another one right next to the Magic Kingdom Resort. It could be a massive thing. This thing could go quite quickly. I think it'd be a great-looking resort, and I think Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show would go down an absolute storm in America. We talk about how there isn't a really massive, full-scale sort of dinner show that's available over there. We have your Hoop-Dee-Doo, you've got your Spirit of Aloha, you've got Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, but you've got nothing on the scale of, like, you've got your Cirque du Soleil, but with a dinner show involved. And you think about how audience participated it is, you think about how patriotic American it is, although it's in France, I think it would be a huge addition to the resort, and I think it would sell out every night.
Most definitely. I think it'd be awesome. Great go. Show anyway.
Great, it is they a great could, show.
They could use the people that used to do the cowboy show at Cypress Gardens.
Oh,
he knew he'd get it in. Okay, they can bring those people in as well. I'm sure they've got plenty of cowboys around. Not in that sense, not Del Boy secondhand market cowboys, but cowboys as in authentic cowboys. Okay, let's head into the Magic Kingdom then, where, Juz, what you got?
It's Halloween!
Halloween-o-ween, everybody. There's no Paris song.
It's Halloween-o-ween, everybody. Oh, okay, if you're heading over to the Magic Kingdom soon, expect to be in for a fight tonight as Teddy Bear's going to die. As a result, I've already... As a result, it's already been given its Halloween makeover, and it is awesome. I love it. I have a piece of straw from one of the bits that I took home. As usual, it fell off, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the Newport Bay Reserve sign fell off our table at breakfast. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
As usual, cast members spend the night putting up bunting and decorating Main Street in all its glory at the first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party on 14th of September. Decorations stay up to the beginning of November, but then expect the holiday season to be moving in fast. Do you know what? They do it on purpose, because you go down there and we're heading back to the UK and we look at it and go, wow, this would be awesome to be here.
Dead right.
It looks amazing. I love it. I think the decorations are incredible. But as you said the other day, we were there one day and then came back the next day. It was like, wow, where did those come from?
2 years ago, the very, very last day of our trip, we decided we'd go back to Magic Kingdom. And that was the day they'd put all the Halloween decorations out overnight. And we just walked in and went, wow, this is amazing. And I got loads of photos of it. But it is one of those things where you just see it and you think, oh, if only I was here another few more days, I'd be able to see it properly. But you're crazy going to go back. And are you doing it again this year?
No, I'm bored with you. I've done it so much.
No, don't. We need the toffee from you.
Yeah, you can't go. You can't go just because you want your chocolate.
I know, you want your bloody Tootsie Rolls. No, I don't think we are. I think we're actually going to Celebration this year. I've got my mum and dad doing this one.
Oh, Celebration.
And they've done it. I've done it. Obviously, we've done it about four times. The last 4 years, my in-laws have done it with us. So I think this year we're just going to give it a skip. You can still get all the toffee in the sweets, so you just go to Downtown Disney and they do free trick-or-treating down there.
Well, we don't know. It's you getting the free toffee, not us, mate.
I'll send the kids down there.
I'll be at Disneyland Paris this year for the terrific night where I'll be pooing myself. Because they keep reiterating on everything I read that it's not designed for people under 12. That's an interesting point. They've got this terrific night that's not for children under 12. So Disney are trying something scary this year in Paris. Do you agree with that? There's so many people who go, yes, I love it. And some people who go, no, I don't like it at all.
I think the problem is that you should have done a not so scary Halloween. That sums up Disney.
Well,
when I look at this, it just looks like a Universal style.
Well, I think that's what it is. They do the sort of the not so scary at Disneyland Paris's park, at the Disneyland park on the 31st. They have a not so scary for one night only. It's nowhere near on the scale of what you get in America, but you have that. And then you have Halloween parties that happen, I think it's 7 or 8 times in the run up with the not so scary party on the 31st. And they've added this to the lineup at Disney Studios of something a little bit more adult orientated.
No, don't. I think it just. It's, I don't know, it's Maxi Universe. I've got Universe, it's great. Bush, it's great. It's not a Disney thing, sorry.
I will let you know, because I'll probably not like it. I don't know, we'll see. Okay, Craig, what we got in Fantasyland?
Well, Pooh Bear has lost his VIP status. He's got queue up now with everyone else. Because due to construction work around the queue area of his many adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Fastpass will be discontinued temporarily from this Friday, September the 17th, through until the attraction fully reopens in November. The standby line will operate at normal, but the attraction closing on October the 25th and reopening on November the 15th. So I miss it. Oh, what a shame.
You're not a fan?
It's all right. It's all right when you've got little kids. I wouldn't have those kind of rides. Now, the only one I'd probably go on now every time I could would be Peter Pan.
Not even Small World?
Oh yeah, Small World I would, but I was putting this with
Snow with the dark Rider. Ride sort of things, right? Yeah. We did it last time out because I quite like the whole way the vehicle changes and moves to do with the water and the jumping and all that sort of stuff, which is quite cool. But it just seems really weird that it's had such disruption. Bearing in mind they're just building the outside, it's just a new front to the ride rather than there being any work to the ride at all. So a huge amount of disruption over time. They've moved the tree from Pooh's Playful Spot and they've moved it across the road and it's now directly outside the entrance, but it's currently covered in tarps and boards and all sorts of stuff. Although I think they've sort of taken a little bit of that down. But it looks like they're really going, you know, full whack on this from the 25th of November to the 15th, 25th of October, sorry, to the 15th of November. But it also, to me, seems very strange that it's going to be finished off so early, bearing in mind it's part of the new Fantasyland expansion.
So the other thing which is daft about this, which is our good friends in America not realising that October the 25th is the start of half-term week and they're going to be busy with all the Brits coming over. So they could have put it off a week.
Does it really get that busy with Brits, though, during that October half-term?
Yeah, no, half-term. Well, it gets busier. I mean, it'd be busier in that week than it will be the week before and the week after.
Right, okay.
You know, but you know how unbusy it is come August the 17th when all the Americans have gone back. So, but, you know, it's still a popular time and there's odd people coming over with families and kids that want to see Pooh Bear.
Oh, there you go. Right, let's move over to Epcot then, where the Hacienda de San Angel is well on the way to being finished. It's been given an official opening date, which will be the grand opening, will be the evening of September the 15th. September the 15th. The new Mexican restaurant at Epcot is going to feature around 12,000 square feet of space. It's going to be a 250-seat table service area, which is going to be along the World Showcase Lagoon. Could it be a better view? They've also attached the Cantina de San Angel, featuring a 150-seat quick service restaurant, which is going to serve all your traditional Mexican stuff. The renovation is likely to become a popular viewing spot for the nightly illuminations, but while the 15th of September is going to be the official opening dates, likely there may be some soft openings that can happen soon. So look, maybe from the 10th of September-ish onwards, I would think there may be some sort of soft... No, not 10th, sorry, because the 10th's already gone. So maybe the 14th, maybe the day before, I would expect, it may be reopening. But Wednesday, by the time you listen to the show, it will be having its grand opening. It's going to be happening at the resort. I really miss the Mexican stuff that they had this year because I really enjoy Mexican food and it just wasn't so easy to get hold of. And funnily enough, and this sounds really weird, the kiosk outside of the Mexican pavilion wasn't included in the dining plan. So we didn't eat there, but I really, really missed the sort of the food that they had there. And I'm really looking forward to this coming back.
Yeah, I like the Hacienda when it used to be in Manchester. So I don't know.
Blue squares of boxes, mix it up.
I'm with you, Adam, totally, really. I love the Mexican food over there. I'm glad it's back.
Are you going to be trying to get one of those coveted seats for Illuminations, though?
Oh, do you know what? It one of my favourite places is standing on the bridge there by Mexico, drinking margaritas, and then fireworks start. But no, I agree with it. It is a really good spot. It's going to be hard to get hold of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think he probably will, but it's going to be, I think it would ease probably the pressure on like Rose and Crown.
Yeah.
And give a little bit more over there. But it's a shame they've taken up quite a substantial area there. But hey, there we go. Let's see what happens there. Right, let's go over to, I've put this one in the most random place. This should have gone in the Magic Kingdom, but there's another bit of news here. We'll swap back over to the Magic Kingdom for Juz's bit of news.
What? Hey?
Hey, what?
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, I'm bad. Back in August, Space Mountain was hit by a lightning, causing the ride to close temporarily, as well as the TTA. But then everything was fine and happy until September the 12th, September 2010. It was struck by lightning again. There are no reports of any damage or even the ride was closed down, but it's certainly proof that lightning can strike twice when you have a dirty, great big metal-roofed building with spikes going up in the air.
Yeah,
the architects have looked at this and are still confused what has happened.
But there's Banksley. You know, we talked about Banksley recently, what with his three clicks and that sort of stuff. He got an amazing shot. He was taking some HD video.
Shot or shock?
Shot. He was taking some HD video, and he's got a picture on his Twitter account at the moment of which shows the lightning strike hitting Space Mountains. He's a bit of a distance away, but you can actually see it coming right down. It looks absolutely phenomenal.
What's his Twitter account?
I don't know what his Twitter account is off the top of my head, but it looks truly amazing. If you want to see it, he is Banks Lee, one word.
Banks Lee, one word.
Right, sorry. Banks Lee, one word, and he's put a twit pick up. He's actually now, I'm just looking, he's actually uploaded a video of it now, of the actual video he took, which had the lightning storm in it as well. But just so you know, that is that it's been hit again. We don't think there's been any damage from what we understand. We're not even sure whether this time the ride was broken, the ride actually stopped working. The last time it was hit, they closed down Space Mountain. They got people off the ride. They also stopped the TTA, which is, I suppose, now the TTA People Mover. Then they got people off there and they shut that down for a while where they checked it and made sure it was all okay. And then they reopened it. Now, I don't know whether that's happened with this time, whether they've learned from the last trip. Last time it happened, that nothing went wrong. I don't know, but it all seems to be fine anyway. Right, let's head back over to Epcot.
Oh, can I just say something?
Yes.
I put the link on the forum under Disney for this picture.
Oh, for that picture. Brilliant. Yeah. Well done. If you go over there, you'll be able to see that. And also, there's a YouTube link, I think, for the video of the storm as well, which had the lightning strike in it. So if we stick that on the forum as well, you'll be able to see both of those. Right, head over to Epcot then. Craig, we've got some updates on the Candlelight Processional.
Well, can you just all pause a minute while I watch the video? Can they not?
No.
Listeners.
No, I don't think we can, actually.
No, damn, they haven't got pause button.
We could pretend. Hang on a sec. Oh, that was a lovely cup of tea. Oh.
I'm not going to play the Jeopardy music again, have I? Like two shows in a row.
Okay, thank you.
Was that what you did?
Yeah, because of course, Juz doesn't listen to the show. What we did, you know, when Craig had his real moan at the beginning of the show last year, that's week.
I watched a bit more of the video.
Well, basically, we faded him out, and I put the Jeopardy music on, and then you just heard me say 3 hours later, and then it just came, faded him back in, still moaning.
You know, I must listen to one day.
Anyway, Craig.
Okay, I was only 41 seconds into that. Okay, Candlelight Processional update. Now, Juz read out a very good list a couple of weeks ago with all the narrators. And unfortunately, his favourite, TBA, has been replaced.
Oh. And, I bought all the CDs and everything.
Sorry about that, mate. You'd have to send the fan T-shirt back. So on December the 2nd to the 4th, it is now Frank Langella. December the 5th and 6th is Ed Asner. And then December the 24th to the 27th is Edward James Olmos.
There we go.
So I've never heard of any of them, to be honest with you.
I'll be honest with you, I don't know who they are either, no. But
I know all of them.
You know all of them.
Gus Griffiths, Adam Goodgar, and Craig Duncan from Destination Disney. That's what it'll be next year.
Yeah, that we're going to do them. We should do the alternative processional.
Yeah, I'll leave that with you then.
Yeah, okay. Right, so let's over to Disney Hollywood Studios, where there is a possibility of a new meet and greet location that's going to be coming to the outdoor location down by Men in Bill's Dockside Diner. This new character meet and greet is going to include all new costumes and big background sets. Preparation has already begun with the removal of a Snow White topiary that used to exist in the area. Although, again, this is not 100% confirmed, it does seem that there's work going on over there. The new background is expected to be much more elaborate than those flat art backdrops that you see in many of the other meet and greets, and the characters are rumoured to be dressed in classic Hollywood-style outfits. So it looks like a meet and greet that's going to be a little bit more for adults than children, by the sound of it.
Ooh, let's start off with Craig. He rants about meet and greets.
Yes.
Sorry, I was watching the video again. Meet and greets, I love them. If the queue isn't very long and there isn't lots of beer that you can tread on his foot. There you go.
All right.
No, I didn't. I don't think I did rant about meet and greets last time.
I think you said, wasn't it? You didn't see the point of them, wasn't it?
No.
No, Craig likes his meet and greets. I just don't think he likes the queues.
I don't care for anything more than an hour unless it's the fourth time that Alex has asked to meet Tinkerbell and I give in because she's crying. That was the only time I've done more than an hour.
He has to upset his children before he'll give in. Okay.
No, I like them. I think they're all right. I prefer more of the impromptu ones when you see a character and you leg it and the cast member who's controlling the character doesn't really know what to do with all these people running at them. They're quite good. But no, I've met some nice characters, met a very nice Goofy the other day in Outside Pirates. I've met some nice characters. I quite like them. I quite like the area in Animal Kingdom as well, where Camp Minnie Mickey, where they're kind of all laid out and you know you can go and meet whoever you want.
Yeah. Well, that's what Camp Minnie Mickey was designed for, though, wasn't it? It is a character meet and greet land, really.
Which is nice.
Right. Let's go over to Star Tours, because Jez is going to give us a bit of information about that.
No information. It's gone. All the best.
Yeah. End of.
It's gone. Do you know, not gone for not forgotten. I've forgotten about it already. It's bizarre, because I read the discussion the day, and what I did feel was that I prefer the shop and the entrance and the walk through the queue. I'd like it to be a Star Tours museum of everything in there. And the ride was almost a bit, So, yes, I'm looking forward to the new one coming. It looks really good. It sounds dead cool. If they pull it off, it will completely reinvigorate that. Because I think, I just didn't think that people went to it anymore. Unless they'd never been before, they weren't going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree.
Thanks, mate.
Okay. Yeah. But I was saying on the radio show that I've not really thought about... What?
On the radio show, pop pickers. In your posh voice. Yeah, go on.
I was saying that I've realised just how big the new one's going to be, and that we've got Star Tours because it's been around so long. Was it 89 it came with the original park, and people have been on it that many times, they're less and less of a queue for it, and that it's sort of gone away, not with a whimper, because it hasn't, because Disney built up the disappearing of it, but it's not gone away with a massive outrage from people that, oh, why are you getting rid of the original? And when this new one comes out, what with it being 3D, with there being multiple endings, with it incorporating part of the original trilogy and the new trilogy and all those things, when people go for there's going to be queues for this. It's going to be huge. There's going to be massive hours of
queues. Huge.
You know, come May the 17th or come sort of May the 10th, May the 12th, I would think, for probably some soft openings. Expect there to be big queues. And expect there to be people hanging around outside just in case they're going to let people onto it. But it's sad it's gone. You know, it is sort of part now of Hollywood Studios history, I suppose. But it was certainly a fantastic ride, and I'm looking forward to see how they're going to improve it with the next one. Right, let's go to Animal Kingdom. Craig?
Before we go there, that Star Tours thing, it's done its time, hadn't it, as far as I was concerned?
Oh, yeah, I think it has.
It was tired and needed it. It'd be nice to see the Simpson ride over in Disney Hollywood Studios anyway. Right. Animal Kingdom. That's all it's going to be. They're just going to use the same company, change a few things, bish bosh, C-3PO at the front, you're in.
Right. Okay.
Animal Kingdom, Village Beatniks. The musical group, the Village Beatniks, will be performing their last ever set at Disney's Animal Kingdom on Sunday, September the 25th. The group has been performing at the park since 1998. Not when it opened. As well as taking part in the German Jungle Parade. So they've been there since day one. And they're going to end. Why are they ending them?
I would guess, again, it's probably due to money or the change of... having people in the parks. You look at Four for a Dollar, who were fantastic, who were Beauty and the Beast, who went. And it's a real shame that they disappeared because they were truly amazing, especially the way they came on as if they were just stage crew and it happened. The Village Beatniks, again, very authentic African, superb. I just hope this isn't... They're getting rid of this group and then they're going to put some other rubbish in. You know, I'm hoping that they're going to... they're not going to put anything at all. I'm hoping they're going to replace it with something rather than it just going and there'd be less live entertainment inside the park. It'd be a real shame to see if that really, really does happen. But there we go. I suppose there's not a lot we can do about it. Things will change. You know, we'll keep moving forward and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a shame to see them go. Well, that's it for our Walt Disney World news. We can jump on a plane, fly over to Disneyland Paris. And we've got a few little bits and pieces to share with you. A couple of bits of news. Firstly, Sequoia Lodge, or Sequila Lodge, as Craig likes to call it.
The right name, come on.
It's beginning to catch up with all of those non-Disney hotels that have had all of these in-room makeovers. They've got a new TV system in there. The old big tube-style televisions have now gone, and they're being replaced with these new sleek flat screens. In addition to that, the new TVs are connected to a LAN network box that has also been placed inside the television cupboard. So it's unsure what exactly the interactive services are going to be, but they're going to implement, hopefully, new things in there. Maybe options like internet on your television, being able to make restaurant reservations, or, as we've talked about in the past, the option of being able to make your fast pass tickets before you leave your hotel room might be a possibility there as well. The system's already been used to welcome guests. Your name appears on the screen and all those bits and pieces for you when you first check in. But also, next to that, there's a new LAN cable that allows guests to use their laptop or their notebook to go online. It's not wireless yet, which is a real shame. I think that's one thing people are beginning to cry out for. But certainly since the birth of the iPad and those sort of things where you really can only do it wirelessly, people are beginning to ask for these wireless networks to be set up and to be connected. But Sequoia Lodge catching up with the 21st century, and I think I'm pleased this has happened, because I don't know about you, Craig, when you last stayed, but we were in one of these corner rooms, which was lovely, but it had been almost converted, and some of the bits and pieces, it was quite obvious that it was part of the old room and maybe needed a little bit of touching up. So I think it was about time it had a little bit of a makeover and had some work done on it.
I don't really mind, to be honest with you, because you don't go to Disneyland Paris for that great a length of time, and you're not really in the room a huge amount. I mean, I stay there because it's a nice hotel, but to me, it's probably the best priced convenient mix to pick that one. You know, the hotel in New York is more convenient, but far more expensive. Newport Bay is too far away. So, you know, unless you want to stay in the Santa Fe or any of those, which are fine, they're a little bit too far to walk. You know, that's the one I like. So I didn't really watch the TV that much. But these LAN boxes, I've seen, if they're the same ones, they had those in the Treehouse Villas. Those in April, and they're really, really cool. I mean, you know, they've got all the ports on there, and you can plug, you know, you can plug your video camera straight into it, and it appears on the TV. So, I mean, it's a very clever system. So, for that sort of thing, it's good, and it means you haven't got to watch French television. Then it's got to be a bonus.
Well, this is it. What they'll start doing though is, because the LAN boxes there allow you to watch, you know, any movie you want when you want, and be a bit of extra money, so you'll be able to watch a Disney movie, perhaps just coming out, and just pay extra for it, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's possible. Right, diving into the Disneyland park with us then.
Can I just say, when I read this, I did check what date it was, because this sounded like April the 1st.
And I also looked at it as well and thought,
Okay, for starters, I have a take on part of this, and then the other bit I think is bleh. Okay, if rumours are to be believed, which I don't think they are, the riverway that runs through Adventureland and specifically Adventure Isle seems to have undergone some changes. Very soon, guests will be able to rent a fishing rod from a nearby restaurant and then they'll spend their time sitting around the lake and fish. Apparently, after catching the fish, you can then take it with your rod back to the restaurant you've rented it, and they will cook it for you to enjoy. Not the rod, the fish. There is no confirmed details, no surprise there, but we'll keep you updated. I can see perhaps a fishing angle, like the fishing hole over at Port Orleans Riverside.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to take them and eat them. I can't see that happening. And isn't it funny that we have this as a rumour, yet there was no rumour about Toy Story Land?
Yeah, that's very true. There's a new land coming. No fishing. Well, that's a very good point. Do you know, when I read this and I thought, this sounds very bizarre.
It does. But then you think French. You think, oh, yeah.
But...
if there's a big queue for the room, they're going to be smelly people there waiting with fish.
No, of course, to be honest, if it's the French, they just give you a grenade. They're not going to wait around.
There'll be barbecues outside.
I would guess you get your time, don't you? Or you get these certain tables you can sit out with you.
No, but can you not see it being like the fishing hole, though, where you can rent fishing rods and sit there and fish and put the fish back?
Well, I thought
it's the cooking the food bit that doesn't ring true, because you can have to keep stocking it and the water's never going to be that clean. Ah, I don't know.
Sticklebacks don't taste that nice when I catch them.
Well, they're not bad deep fried.
You know, they're catching the salmon, that's for sure.
Yeah, the problem is the sticklebacks, they sit on top of the fat when you're trying to boil them. You have to keep pushing them down.
So we'll see whether this rumour is indeed true or whether it is just that. It's just a rumour. But it'd be interesting to see what happens with that. I certainly won't be going fishing. But, you know, there might be some people.
I mean, how much does it cost to get in the park, that one park?
To get into the Disneyland park?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly in euros. It's about £40, I think it is now.
So you spent £40 to go into the best theme park in Europe, to rent a fishing rod, to sit down and fish.
Well, there is that as well, yeah.
Yeah, bless.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. If it does happen...
We're closing the podcast then. We're calling it a day.
That's it. It's just too much now. If it does happen, it's going to be an interesting take, see what happens. Just so you know, ticket price is £47 for adults for a one-day hopper. £94 for a two-day hopper, and 4 days for the price of three, currently £115. 5 days for the price of four is £143.
If it actually does come true, you heard it first on the Disney Brit podcast. If it doesn't, we're your mouse cast.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Alan. Hi, Steve. Oh, that's it. They're going to fall out with us now. They're not going to talk to us ever again. Right, okay, let's go on to some what sounds like some more appetizing food that's becoming available in Disneyland Paris.
I don't know. This is going to be something you're going to have to try, definitely. So one of the most popular snacks in Disney parks around the world is popcorn, one of our favorites. Now, following the trend set in particular by Disney parks in Japan... and in the US, and I've never seen this in Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris is now experimenting with unique popcorn flavours. The latest addition is the gingerbread flavour, available at the popcorn cart next to the Lucky Nugget Lane in Thunder Messy. Now, between the Fort of the Land's main entrance and the riverboat landing, but there is not only one new culinary feast awaiting guests. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Small snack point located in the covered wagon opposite the entrance to Big Thunder Mountain. There has always been baked potatoes on offer, but these have now moved outside of the Cowboy Cookout. And a new snack that is offered is a hot chili sandwich.
Sounds
a new drink of choice. So chili in a sandwich. Isn't that a burrito? Yeah.
I think it's a little bit like a mix between a burrito and a samosa. From what I looks like a big samosa.
You start off with your gingerbread popcorn, and then you're going to have that job done.
Yeah, chili. Like, you can have a chili sandwich because you don't have hot dogs with chili on. They're nice.
They are nice. Do you know what?
Chili sandwich sounds good. That's really good.
With some cheese on it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the ham and cheese flavored popcorn.
I don't know about gingerbread popcorn. I don't know whether that's just a bit weird.
Oh, it'd be nice. I bet it would be.
Do you think it would? Gingerbread?
Yeah. Imagine a dark night, it's getting late, and gingerbread popcorn.
For Halloween.
That does sound nice.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, that might be right. Good. So we're going for... I'll bring some back. So some chili-flavoured sandwich, a drink.
Chili-flavoured sandwich?
Chili. Chili bread.
Chili.
A hot chili sandwich with a drink.
Gingerbread
hot
popcorn.
Hot chili sandwich with a cup of hot chocolate, followed by a tub of gingerbread popcorn. There we go. That's very wintery. I like that. Right, Walt Disney Studios then, our last bit of news. The Café de Cascadas, which has been there since forever, which has always been hidden away, is feeling the strain of guests who are hoping for a good sit-down meal. It is still the only sit-down restaurant in the whole of the park. Bar, sort of buffet... Reme that's going on, but it's the only official sit-down restaurant. And it's for this reason that Imagineers looking at expanding the seating of the restaurant by another 40 to 70 seats. Now, it would call for the current outdoor seating area to be replaced, as well as the decorating the park, the decorative parking lot that's next to it, and the motorbikes that are there that are sort of, yeah, you can have your photos taken set on. Looks like they may be disappearing as well, making it a much larger space for people to dine. As to when this is going to happen, we don't know at this stage, but it's expected to happen sometime soon, so keep you posted as to when that's going to be coming about. Has anybody eaten here yet?
No,
I've not eaten there. Purely for it used to be a counter service, and it was always very, very busy. But it'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to compare their burgers with the ones you get at Annette's Diner to see if they're as good.
Mm-hmm.
So Annette's Diner's burgers are very good.
Very expensive.
They are very expensive. Yes, they are. And these are a little bit cheaper. But it'd be interesting to see if they're as good as Annette's. Right, there you go. That is all of the news that we have got. So let's get on with the rest of the show, shall we?
Woohoo!
It's not very often we get news flashes on this show, but here is one. I've just had a phone call from Ruth, who is from the Disney Store. She works at Disney Horse Store HQ, to give me some more information with regards to the new Disney Store opening in Milton Keynes. They've had to delay the opening by a week. It's now not going to be this weekend as it was supposed to be, which was the 18th. It's going to now be on the 25th of September. But I have got some information on top of that. The grand opening will still be at 11 a.m. so do not panic about that, but she has also told me who is going to be there for the grand opening. Now, this is subject to change, it may change, but just to let you know that so far these are the following. We have Mickey and Minnie going to be there. They're going to do the grand opening and they're going to do meet and greets along with Belle and the Beast. But as well as that, at the grand opening is going to be Paige O'Hara, the voice of Belle herself. So she's going to be there for the grand opening. So it's now going to be on Saturday, the 25th of September at 11 a.m. And you can meet Paige O'Hara, Mickey and Minnie, Belle and the Beast. I am still going to be there. I'm going to be there from 10 a.m. outside of the store. Come and meet us. Hopefully there's going to be a few of us there who are going to enjoy the experience together. So that's the 25th of September at 10 a.m. Grand opening will be at 11. So I hope that we're going to see you there. Day two of our diary then, and today was Disney's Hollywood Studios. So we decided we're going to spend a great day there. Got up not too early, but headed down for breakfast here at Saratoga Springs, and then made our way over to Hollywood Studios. Reasonably quiet day, wasn't too busy whatsoever when we arrived. We arrived about 10 o'clock, expecting there to be a huge queue for Toy Story, Midway Mania, and all the others. Queue for Toy Story was about 40 minutes, so we went and got in the queue and got ourselves a fast pass for later on in the day as well. But before any of that happened, we arrived at the park and panic. And we had our room key, which was also our charging card and also supposed to be our tickets. When we arrived, tried to get into the park, no joy. They were telling us there were no tickets on there whatsoever. So we had a bit of a panic, wondering where they were, and headed over to customer services. And they had a look at our card. No tickets on there at all. Bit of a worry. We'd had a bit of an issue with our charging privileges the night before, where we'd put down some money for our charging and they hadn't gone on either. But the guy we spoke to at customer service had said that there was they knew there was an issue and that Saratoga Springs customer services were sorting it out. And he gave us a temporary ticket for that day and also gave us a front of line pass for one of the fast pass attractions, which was minus Toy Story Mania and one of the, I forget what the other one is off the top of my head. But we then managed to enter the park. As I said, we went in queue for Toy Story Mania, 40 minutes, not too bad, and got a fast pass for later in the day. We stayed in the park until probably 1, maybe 2 o'clock, of which then we headed out of the park, came back to the hotel, had a swim, and then headed back into the park for our reservation at Mama Melrose, which I've got to say was a fantastic meal. I enjoyed a sirloin steak, which was really, really tasty. Some great food in there, really nice atmosphere. And then we spent some time finishing off the rest of the park, the bits and pieces we hadn't done, things like Muppet Vision 3D and also Star Tours and the Disney animation, where we went and enjoyed having a go at drawing Mickey.
And they stayed in the park until the second showing of Fantasmic, which was on at 10:30. Still very, very busy. A lot of people who had entered the park during the afternoon and during the evening for those two Fantasmic shows, which meant that both of them were pretty much full. The 9 o'clock showing was certainly ram-packed. They had to close that off. And the 10:30 show wasn't far off full as well. And then we headed back home and just went to bed. That was really about it for our second day. So tomorrow we are off to Animal Kingdom. Well, it's that time in the show where we're going to give you the information to do with our Disney Brit competition. And I said this is going to be the biggest one. It is our 50th show. So we are going to give away a fantastic prize for you to win. And you only have 1 week to enter. And I'll tell you a little bit more why you've only got a week to enter in a moment. How do you fancy coming out to Disneyland Paris for Halloween? Because that is indeed the competition. The prize that we have got for you is a chance to join me in Disneyland Paris over the Halloween weekend to experience all the stuff that's going to be going on over there. The dates for this competition are the 29th to the 31st of October. So that's a Friday the 29th to Sunday the 31st of October. And included in your prize package is the following: 2 nights accommodation, a 2-day park hopper ticket for Disneyland Paris, since it's good for both parks. There's also included a ticket to the Terrorific Night 2 at Walt Disney Studios. That's on the 30th of October, the evening of 30th of October. You're going to get dinner on Friday, your breakfast, lunch, dinner Saturday. You're going to get breakfast and lunch on the Sunday as well. That's all going to be included in your package. Now, things that aren't included, you're going to need to bring some spending money because you're going to want to spend loads of stuff on all the things at Disneyland Paris. You're also going to need to get yourself there. And that's the reason why you've only got a week to enter. We want to give you plenty of time to sort out your travel arrangements. There's still some cheap flights going, Eurostar, all those sort of things. Maybe you want to drive down. All those things are still available. You are going to need a valid passport for this as well, because obviously you're going to be going to another country. If you're not already in France, that is, you're going to need a valid passport. So let's just recap on the thing. So the dates are going to be Friday the 29th to Sunday the 31st of October. 2 nights accommodation, a 2-day park hopper ticket. You're going to get a ticket for the Terrorific Night 2. You get a load of food thrown in, and hopefully lots of other little bits and pieces as well that we've not announced as of yet. Hope for some few surprises. So, what do you need to do to enter the competition, try and win this fantastic prize? Well, you're going to need to send us an email. That email's going to need to tell us in 50 words or less why you should come to Disneyland Paris. Okay, that's it. We're not putting anything difficult, any difficult trivia questions. We're not trying to give people some really difficult tests here. We want to make sure it's accessible for all people, whether you're a Disney geek or not. So 50 words or less, tell us why you should come to Disneyland Paris. Now, the closing date for this is Wednesday, the 22nd of September. The winner's going to be notified by Thursday, the 23rd of September. And what I want you to put in your email is obviously your 50-word statement as to why you think you should come, and your phone number as well, so we can contact you. And you need to send that to podcast@disneybrit.com. So let's just repeat that. You're going to send your 50-word statement and your phone number to podcast@disneybrit.com. So there you go. There's our big competition for the 50th episode. I hope good luck to you. I'm looking forward to seeing and reading some of your entries, and ultimately seeing that winner at Disneyland Paris on the 29th of October. So good luck.
Flexible, simple, value, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844 or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
In the UK, there are a few offerings presented to true Disney fans other than heading to the Disney store in your local shopping centre or picking up an occasional special appearance by a Disney character. But every year, there is one event that storms the UK with its dazzling storylines, wondrous costumes and spectacular sets, not forgetting some breathtaking skating. Now, since 1981, a mammoth task has faced the production company of Feld Entertainment and Disney with their production of Disney on Ice, and this year is no different. Having started on the 10th of September in Glasgow, Disney on Ice, 100 Years of Magic, will tour the UK for 3 months, travelling as far north as Scotland, as far west as Ireland, and all the way down to London. And we couldn't let it pass without finding out as much as we could about it. So, joining me, I'd like you to welcome Disney on Ice, Charles Cornell. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the show, Adam.
No, we appreciate you coming on and telling us more about Disney on Ice. You know, this show's now been going for a long, long time. I know it originally started as Walt Disney World's Disney on Ice, or something like that, back in 1981, and changed early 90s. Yes. Is that right?
I think one of the earliest shows was actually Magic Kingdom on Ice, but yes, it's the name changed from Walt Disney's World on Ice when I began, and then about 5 years later, they shortened it to Disney on Ice because everyone was calling it mm-hmm. Disney on Ice anyway, and it's quite a mouthful to say Walt Disney's World on Ice.
Yes, certainly much easier to say Disney on Ice. How many years has it been coming to the UK now? Has it been since 81, or was it early 90s that it started?
It was probably the late 80s because we've only been coming to Europe since about 1987 or 88. But okay. The company began in 1981 in the United States and toured domestically for several years. And then we thought to bring it overseas in, I think, 1987. And then we've just been growing ever since. It's been in the UK for at least, 15 years or so. 15,
so, 16. It's a good run. Nearly 20-odd years is a great run for a show.
Oh, yeah, and we've got a lot of loyal markets that we've been going back to every year, London, mm-hmm. Manchester, Newcastle, some of these markets, and we're always looking for new places to play.
Well, we want to talk to you a little bit about Disney on Ice. I know a lot of people I've spoken to about Disney on Ice have sort of said that, well, it seems that this Feld Entertainment seems to headline everything, and sometimes it puts people off from feeling that it's an authentic Disney show and that it's maybe just Feld Entertainment have got the characters and they're doing something. But how does this relationship between Disney and Feld work together to create a show that's as authentic as it could possibly be?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Actually, Feld Entertainment is one of the worldwide leaders in producing live touring entertainment spectacles and shows. We have the exclusive right from the Disney company to do their live ice shows and their live stage shows, which includes the use of the costumes, the use of the soundtracks, the use of the scripts, music, all the rights to the Disney properties and the Disney films. And we work very closely with them each year to come up with a new production. It takes about a year to get things from the concept stage to the storyboards to the white model meeting to, designing costumes, choreographies, and sets. So they work very closely with the company, and we are probably one of the longest licensees with the Disney company.
And you talk about how closely you work with Disney. In the US, I think it's at Lakeside at the moment, is Toy Story 3 on Ice, which obviously the film only came out a few months ago, and you've already got that up and running. So there's obviously a very close early working relationship with Disney with things like that as well.
Yes, I mean, it's sort of a natural progression. I mean, when we have, a new film will come out, and then it goes to DVD, and then they will have, do the live version, which the next progression would be on a stage or on the ice. So that's when we come in and they start planning. I think, early on, will this make a good ice show when, obviously once it comes up to looking at, how to market it and what are some other areas that can go into and keep the properties, strong. And I think that's a logical, step. We had the same thing when High School Musical came out. Mm-hmm. That was such a huge phenomenon. They did three different units of that tour. We did two for the United States and one for international, because I think Disney realized that they were tapping into something that was really going to be a very hot property. So, I think with Toy Story, the same thing.
You talk about units. Is there a case that do you ship the entire set and production crew and everything from America to do the UK, or is there a specific unit built in the UK to tour the UK?
No, everything is created in the United States. We have about 7 or 8 units touring the world at any given time, because we have So we have two units of the ice show that tour in the United States. We have one that does South America, one that does Asia. Then we also have one in Europe, and I think I'm missing one. It's seven or eight shows that are touring right now, and that's just the ice show. We also have the Disney Live theater shows, which are touring, and we have a new one coming into Europe. It's actually starting out in Gran Canary in about a month. And then we also have Feld Motorsports and Ringling Brothers Circus in the United States. So it's quite a big operation. The two, you know, Disney elements are the Disney Live show and then the Disney on Ice, which is probably best known.
What is the new Disney Live show? Is that coming to the UK next year?
I'm sorry, Disney Live, yes. That will be, we've been playing Disney Live for a few years now as well. We started out in 1994 with Winnie the Pooh live on stage. It's more of a theater show. It enables us to go to smaller venues. The ice show, it's really a big show, and we need to go to very large arenas. There's so much demand for Disney, things Disney, and characters, and so we created smaller shows which fit into smaller theaters. We've had Mickey's Magic Show last year was Third Classic Fairy Tales. This year's show is going to be Mickey's Music Festival.
Wow, fantastic.
And it's going to include Aladdin, Little Mermaid, and Toy Story, as well as Mickey, Donald, Minnie, and Goofy.
That sounds just up my little boy's street, so we'll certainly be going to see that one. Now, you talk about, obviously, we have these shows, and there's a lot of them at tour. I think you've got one of the Mickey's Magical Tour, I think it's been going for 15 or so years now. And there's some that have come and gone, some older shows that you talked about, Disney at Magic Kingdom, Disney on Ice at Magic Kingdom, that's come and gone. Now, we've got 100 Years of Magic that's come this year.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about what the 100 Years of Magic show is all about?
100 Years of Magic was originally created as part of the celebration of what would have been Walt Disney's 100th birthday in 2001. He was born in 1901. A lot of people think when they say that it's 100 years, the company was actually not founded until 1923, the Walt Disney Company. But this is a commemoration of what would have been Walt Disney's 100th birthday and all the imagination that he brought and all the magic that he brought by creating this company and, you know, building this empire. And it was created, the show was created in 2001, and it was such a popular show, we've really just kept the name, and it's just been touring the world, and we've really been delighting audiences around the globe. And it's been several years since we brought it to the UK, and we thought it would be a nice opportunity to bring it back.
Yeah, because it was 2003 when the last time it was over here. I think it was known as 100 Years of Magical Moments or something slightly different.
Yes. Possible. Sometimes they do change the show, they update it, they add a few different scenes, and then they'll change the name.
That was going to be my question. Is it the same show, or are there some slight changes to the original?
Well, we've had a few different additions because there have been several new films that have come out since the original version. I think we've added scenes from Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, and some other small, you know, tweaks and things here to update it and make sure that it's the most updated and the best, you know, show we can offer. I think we, fans of Disney and, you know, fans of Feld Entertainment, expect high quality, and we want to make sure that the quality is still there. I know that the creative director, Jerry Billick, was just in Glasgow. We're having our opening night tonight, actually, and they just reworked a few of the opening scenes because they want to make it more dynamic, and they just make some changes and keep it fresh.
Fantastic. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing it. Now, you talk about the show. There's this unit that tours Europe, tours the world, and it obviously takes a huge amount of people. Having seen several of quite a few of the Disney on Ice shows, I think I've missed one for about 6 or 7 years now, I'm always amazed by the size of the set, the size of the arena, it takes obviously a long time to put up, a long time to put down. Can you talk us through sort of the process of getting a show into a venue, what it takes to set up and then run, and then what it takes to take the show out again?
Well, it takes longer to set it up than it does to take it down, I can tell you that. We have a very qualified team of engineers and crew. We have 17 people on this year's show. That includes carpenters, props, wardrobe, electricians, lighting, sound. And they come in usually about if the show is opening on, say, a Thursday, they'll come in on like a Tuesday. They do, you know, what is called ice in. If a building has its own ice floor, It's just a matter of, you know, setting up the rigging and getting the ice floor ready. If a building is a bare building, a bare venue, and they do not have an ice hockey floor, for example, they will build their own ice.
Right.
That takes a little bit longer, but they have all the equipment that travels with the show that they're able to put up. They put down the grids, they put down, you know, the it's sort of creating giant ice cube, I guess, on the floor, if you will. They have you know, a generator that will freeze the floor, literally, and it takes a couple of days, and they put layers of water over it and sort of a special coolant that will make it, you know, solid and will make it proper for the skaters to come out there and perform. And once the ice floor is in, then the light rig goes in, and then the set is to be built. This year is a replica of Sleeping Beauty's castle, so it's quite a large prop, and it takes I would say a full day to set up. There's what I've heard is that it takes 14 hours to set up the whole production, and then it only takes 4 or 5 to take it down.
That's a big difference.
The main thing, I think,
a big difference in between putting it up and taking it down.
Yeah, I think that it's just because a lot of lighting rigs have to be, everything has to be, you know, speakers have to be hung from chains in the ceilings in a lot of the buildings. The lighting grids have to be just right there to check to make sure that all the bulbs have been, you know, are in place and that everything's working properly. And then they have to raise it up off the floor. So that's a big part of the process. And then actually unloading the crates and the costumes and everything that goes into the special effects, the pyro, anything else that is involved in that. So it's a quite detailed process. Everybody has their jobs and everybody knows where they need to be and where things need to be in place.
Fantastic. There's obviously a lot of hard work that goes into putting a show together, from the creative team that originally comes up with the concepts and the ideas, to designers, scenic designers, lighting designers, costumes. But obviously one of the biggest things for Disney on Ice is the ice dancing itself, the ice skating. And you brought in Emmy Award winner Sarah Kawahara to do the choreography in this show, of which she's done very, very well. Does she see this show often? Does she come and see it to make sure they keep the high standard? Or how do you keep the standard of the show up that she set when she originally choreographed it?
Yes, well, Sarah Kawahara has actually done several of our shows. You know, she's worked on Spirit of Pocahontas, as well as this one, as well as a few of the others, you know, in the many years that we've been doing the show. We did not actually have the choreographer come to visit the show unless there's something specifically probably that needs to be completely changed. We have the creative director from Jerry Billick will come in and make some changes in, you know, an opening number. But during the tour, we have what is called the performance director, and that is someone who watches every performance. They are a skater, but it's also someone who works with the cast and goes through every cue, every night's performance, sits there in the audience and watches. And at the end of each show says, okay, you missed your mark. You were supposed to be downstage a little bit more. This was you know, something that needs to be changed. This one needs to be fixed. And that really helps them to maintain the specific choreography that Ms. Kawahara has laid out, you know, years ago.
Excellent.
It's been, you know, so, but that's how they maintain the professionality and make sure the quality is maintained. And it's the same show, basically, you'll see from what was originally laid out.
Now, last year was Princess Wishes, and I went to see that. I took my niece with me, and when I heard about the title, looked at a lot of the artwork for the posters and things, I was very concerned that it was heavily weighted towards girls, and that having actually seen it, I realised, and a review we gave on the show last year, it says that the boys would have absolutely loved it as well, with a lot of the stuff, the dragon, the ice setting on fire, all that sort of stuff that was part of that
show. I thought that was a great show.
I don't know, it was a fantastic show, and I always think Princess Wishes always aimed it towards girls rather than a mix. And was there a sort of a conscious decision this year to bring over a show that was sort of targeted towards both boys and girls, and the show name and the style?
I think that's been a concern sometimes. We found that when there was another show, Princess Classics, which was came out several years back, and I think there was a concern, but then the Princess franchise is so popular, and we did find that we attracted a lot of little boys, but I do think that there was some concern. I know that that's we're trying to balance it out whenever we get, the Disney company, whenever they're creating films nowadays, are also trying to, you know, appeal to not just girls but boys, and not just boys but girls. But I think that it really sometimes depends on what shows are, you know, available to come, what shows are, you know, more popular in one area. I think that, you know, we're very happy to be bringing this show back because it is something that appeals to everyone, not just, you know, male, female, but also age. It's, you know, appealing to all ages, all generations. You have storylines in there that will appeal to grandparents. They grew up with shows like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and Pinocchio, and then you have younger children that will recognize, you know, Mulan or Finding Nemo or The Incredibles. So I think that this show appeals to not just, you know, across the boy-girl, you know, spectrum, but across the ages and the generations, and everybody who grew up with Disney and the Disney music and the Disney characters will find something to take away with them.
Fab. Now, obviously, 2010 show is going to be 100 Years of Magic. 2011, I think I understand, is another show that you're bringing back. Because, like I said, I've seen a lot of the Disney on Ice shows, and there was one show I missed, and I've never forgiven myself, being a huge, huge Disney fan and loving the parks, and that was the Disneyland Adventure. And I missed it when it came over a few years ago. Is it right? Am I right in thinking that 2011 show is going to be the Disneyland Adventure?
Well, actually, we're talking about bringing two shows over in 2011.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have a spring tour of Disneyland Adventure, and then in the fall, we would be bringing back a show called World of Fantasy. Disneyland Adventure originally was a story about with the Incredibles coming to a day at the Disneyland Park, and it's been reworked a little bit. That's another one that they've sort of reimagined with a different, because I think the Incredibles are, they're popular, but I don't think they're as well known as some of the other classic characters. And right now we have the Fab Five, which is Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, and Pluto, I think, are going to be visiting the park. And then they run across the evil fairy Maleficent, and they do enlist the Incredibles to help save the park from her evil spell. And that will be coming in the spring to the UK. And then in the fall we have a show called World of Fantasy, which incorporates scenes from Lion King, Little Mermaid, Cars, and Tinkerbell.
Oh, fabulous. Cars, fantastic.
We actually have some almost life-size cars. I think the props are pretty amazing from what I've seen. I've not seen the show yet, but I remember when the show was created, seeing that they are just really... We have a company out of Florida that does all our props, and they really came up with some amazing, interpretations of the car props.
And the spring show, can we confirm that there's going to still be all the references? You've got Stitch and Tiki Room, Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion. All of those are still going to be in there?
Yes. It's a Small World, Thunder Mountain, all the attractions that people know from the parks, yeah.
Fantastic. Anyway, that's spring. We'll come back to you on that when we come to spring next year. Mm-hmm. So back to the current tour. Let's just give people the dates again, just so they know. Glasgow, the 10th to the 19th of September, the Brayhead Arena. You've got Trent FM Arena in Nottingham, the 1st to the 3rd of October. Metro Radio Arena in Newcastle, the 5th to the 10th. Manchester, the 13th to the 17th at the MEN Arena. London, the 20th to the 31st of October at the O2 Arena. Then into November, we've got Birmingham, the 3rd to the 14th of November, that's at the NIA. Sheffield Arena, 16th to the 21st of November. Then we're moving over to Belfast in Northern Ireland for the 23rd to the 26th of September at the Odyssey Arena. And then going to Dublin in December to January 2011, there's dates to be announced for those yet. If people want to find out a little bit more about the show or want to buy tickets, where's the best place for them to go?
I think the local Ticketmaster website, or they can go to www.disneyonice.co.uk.
Fantastic. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to going to see the show. And in October, we'll be giving a review of the show here on the podcast. But Charles, thank you very much for taking some time to join us and tell us a little bit more about what goes into creating a Disney on Ice production.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. And thank you. And I hope you enjoy the show as much as and we'll enjoy presenting it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Uh And there rounds up episode 50 of the show. Our first half century is done. Thank you once again for joining me. We thank our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. And of course, as always, thank Juz and Craig. And this time, Charles Cornell from Disney on Ice for joining us. Make sure you email us your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. We do aim to answer every single email that comes through. And don't forget, also send emails to podcast@disneybrit.com. You have for the competition, you have until the 22nd of September to get those competition entries in. 50 words as to why you think you should be the one coming to Disneyland Paris, along with your phone number. And I look forward to seeing those entries. You can also ring our voicemail number on 01212882858 from the UK and 407545 7980 if you are in the US. Make sure to check out our website, DisneyBrit.com. We're adding more things on there all of the time. And also Facebook. Join our Facebook groups and Disney Brit fan page over there. Friend of myself, Juz and Craig. And also go over to Facebook. The Milton Keynes Disney Store opening date, which has of course now changed to the 25th of September, has got a Facebook events page, which we have set up. We're going to have a Disney Brit meet there. So make sure you go and say you're attending that. If you can come along, it's going to be from 10 a.m. Store opening at 11 a.m. We're going to make sure we get there nice and early to get a decent spot. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. It's really helping those people who don't know necessarily anything about the show. They may want to come and take a listen. You can find our YouTube channel over at Disney Brit Podcast. And also remember to listen to our new radio show, Destination Disney, on 1410 a.m. Heartbeat Radio over in Orlando. Listen between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. on Friday nights in the UK, which is 6 to 8 p.m. EST. You can also listen at heartbeatradiousa.com. And also visit our website, www.destinationd.info, where you can download the latest radio show, and soon it will be available on iTunes. Also, check out our sister podcast at iOnOrlando, and you can visit our forum. The home is www.iOnOrlando.com/forum. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. And that really is it. And the next show will be released on Wednesday, the 28th of September. So until then, I'll see ya.
Oh.